You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, friends, to another live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, February the 8th. During tonight's show, yours truly, James Edwards, and my co-host, Keith Alexander, are going to be breaking down the chaos behind the Iowa caucuses this week with the kind of matchless commentary you'll only hear right here at TPC. Later in the show, Gene Andrews, the former commander of the Tennessee Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, as promised, will be back to share with us all the news that is news about Nathan Bedford Forrest, the restoration of his equestrian monument, and much more. Later still, I read a headline in the Washington Post this week. What's next, giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to David Duke? We'll ask him if he thinks that's a good idea. So a certain former member of the Louisiana House of Representatives will be with us in the third hour. We're going to be talking about the State of the Union address. We're going to be talking about the Democratic primaries and so much more. But right now, everybody seems to be talking about what happened in Iowa this week with the glitches in the vote counting. And we're going to get to that, too. But before we do, you need to know background about the Iowa caucuses. I put up an article this week that I think is quite good and really paints the picture of what's been going on in Iowa for a long, long time. You ask, why the fuss about the caucuses in this unimportant state of Iowa? The caucuses are another clever move by the elites to control elections. They are like debates between the candidates. The purpose of the Iowa caucuses is to head off genuine dissidents running for the presidency. After all, Buchanan defeated Bush in New Hampshire. While the system was able to deal with this reverse, it was a nasty surprise, and so something had to be arranged to head off such upsets. So the caucuses in Iowa were set up as the first hurdle of the presidential nomination season. What's the first obvious problem with these caucuses in supposedly oh-so-democratic America? The answer? No secret ballot. Wasn't the secret ballot praised in our history books and by our liberal teachers as protecting workers and others from reprisals for not voting the way the bosses wanted? Well, forget that secret ballot stuff in Iowa. No, everybody has the right to vote there under the glare of the cameras. This is one way to ensure that a candidate who genuinely threatens the system won't get anywhere. Very few people are going to show their faces by publicly voting for someone who challenges system policies on things that matter, like allowing Israel to run our foreign policy, reverse discrimination, or the third world colonization of America. The next problem, the results of the caucuses depend far more on who is organized and who turns out, and that is governed by the media, system organization, and money. The problem after that, security. I know people with a lot of different points of views, and a friend of mine is a liberal Democrat who worked for the odious sociopathic Senator John Edwards and was in Iowa when Obama pulled off a sudden upset. My friend, not a hater or a racist or whatever, you can fill in the blanks, told me that Obama stole the caucuses. Obama flooded the caucuses with busloads of blacks who poured in from Illinois and mobbed the Iowa precincts. They were not made to produce IDs. No one dared to object for being feared, of course, of being called a racist. Now, my friend says that Edwards discussed the sleazy business, but it was deep-sixed by the media, and his staff wanted to publicly take on Obama, but it was decided that that issue would be suicidal, so Obama stole the caucuses. Now, there are three main aspects of these caucuses that appeal to the system and cause it to make a big fuss over the silly affairs. Number one, as I mentioned, the no-secret ballot. Hence, no possibility of a quote-unquote extremist pulling off an upset like happened to Bush in New Hampshire. Organization, money, and support of a caucus victory, little or no security preventing vote-fixing. The caucuses are merely one tactic that the system elites have developed to ensure that their toadies are favored. Another has been the modification of the debates. Back in the 1950s, there really were debates. If you can remember that far, that was before my time. But the candidates did the talking. They gave their own initial statements, then they cross-examined each other. The candidates determined what the issues were. They could develop their own issues. The system didn't like that, so it set up the political debates. And that is basically owned by the League of Women Voters. They decide what the issues are going to be. They decide who the candidates are going to be and what the litmus is for producing a candidate worthy of an invitation. So, of course, the debates function by no longer featuring the candidates presenting their own issues and clashing swords with each other. They're just little more than silly press conferences before system journalists, which leads to the third system of fix for the debates. Who gets to ask the questions? Well, a system journalist chosen by the League of Women Voters. As Simon Garfunkel once put it, laugh about it, cry about it. When you get to choose any way you look at it, you lose. So it's not surprising that the system makes such a fuss over these carefully concocted caucuses. What will the system do next? Well, it's working to ban big money from elections by campaign reform laws that will make it illegal for large amounts of private money to be spent in an election. The private money will be replaced by public financing, make that government financing. Money will be handed out under most proposals in two ways. Number one, gobs of money will be given to the top brass of the two political parties. This will serve the happy purpose of centralizing control over the political parties, as is done in Great Britain currently. Candidates will be given money. How much? Well, the candidates will be given money in accordance to their standing in the polls. Stay tuned. It's coming. It's the next thing. So, Keith, that was our take on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, about the problem with the Iowa caucuses before we got into the absurdity of what happened in this particular vote on Monday night. So, basically, if that caucus failsafe that they have put into place doesn't work, look what happens now. And you have the problem with this app. Now, why in the world they couldn't use a paper ballot and a calculator and phone in the results like people have been doing for decades is beyond me. But everything that came after that just stinks to high heaven. The whole thing, it took them 3 days to count a few thousand votes in Iowa. And when they finally did, 2 days later, release some results, they only listed partial results showing Mayor Pete Buttigieg in the lead, knowing full well that the precinct supporting Sanders had not been factored in yet, his heavily supported precincts. It does look like in the end Sanders did win, but boy, there's a lot to unpack, and we'll be unpacking a lot of it this hour. First, let's start with the caucus system in and of itself, as we have spent the last few minutes doing.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is no other caucus in the presidential primary season. This is the one and only caucus. Why in the world do you allow one state and the state that goes first to do things in an entirely different way from everywhere else? Well, like you said, it's obvious that the powers that be want to be in more control of who gets off the finish line, off the starting line, in the presidential primaries, and this is a way to do it. Without a secret ballot, people that have dissident views are hammered down, and they are, you know, unless they have extremely strong personalities, they wind up being part of selecting a consensus candidate. That's why all the Democratic nominees in the bottom half basically got virtually no votes when all was said and done with the Iowa caucuses. People like Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang, for example, that, you know, I don't think they got over 10. It's crazy.
We have some anecdotal evidence to back up what Keith's saying. We're going to really unpack this in depth this hour. So much more to come as well in tonight's show with Gene Andrews, David Duke. State of the Union, we're just getting started. Don't go anywhere.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where did all these cats come from?
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Well, that's been the truth in American politics for a long, long time. But like I said, everybody's been talking about what happened in Iowa this week. But they're missing, I think, the bigger point was that this was what the entire caucus system was set up to do. And when even that failed, you get increased shenanigans like we've seen. But yes, I mean, having people vote in front of their peers and in front of the media, I mean, you're going to go in and you're going to vote for a guy like a Buchanan or a Duke or somebody that's a dissident candidate, and you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to be strong-willed, and our people aren't anymore, and that's a big problem. But listen to this. Listen to this, Keith. You were talking about just a moment ago what I was saying. Yeah, you could probably get assaulted nowadays for voting for somebody.
I might have to move out of Iowa.
Yeah, at least get fired from a job. But listen to this. Listen to what happened. I mean, this is the distilled soul of democracy. This is what we killed 500,000 Iraqis for. Listen to this. This was a caucus goer told the AP, the Associated Press, this on the vote night in Iowa. I'm kind of swinging between Amy and Bernie. A caucus goer told the AP. Ultimately, though, he was convinced to join with Buttigieg. I was standing over by the Amy people, but no one talked to me. A woman for Pete came over, so I said, okay, well, I'll go with Pete.
What an informed voter that is.
Well, and unfortunately, this is the people that get to go vote.
It's like people waiting around during rush to get picked by a fraternity or a sorority.
Well, does this back up what we're saying about the caucus system?
Well, the caucus system is
you got that
diabolical.
Peer pressure applied to you, or maybe you're trying to get a date, and the woman comes over, a girl in the room comes over and says, come vote for my guy.
Yeah, well, see, this is what happens when the establishment wants to preordain a certain result. What they did, they're making sure that any true grassroots insurgent gets off on the wrong foot in the presidential primary season because of Iowa. Iowa is a popularity contest where people are, first of all, like you said about the Obama debacle with John Edwards back in, I guess, 2008, you can just bring people in from out of town and nobody is checking to see where they're from, if they're legitimate Iowans. They're going to, particularly if a black person shows up, there aren't a lot of black people in Iowa, and these people are cucked to the max. So that's one way to, make the system corrupt. The other thing is that if everybody has to agree and is subject to bludgeoning by public opinion, there aren't a lot of profiles and courage out there, like you said. And this is the way, for example, the establishment has apparently picked Buttigieg to be the stalking horse of Bernie Sanders.
Well, he has assumed the role as the establishment's choice. Now
he's the establishment's assassin of Bernie Sanders' chances. Well, this is the thing, Democrat presidential nomination.
We were talking about this before. Now, number one, I don't want a man who's 5'4", 120 pounds to lead me into anything. I certainly don't want a homosexual as leading anything. But everything the DNC has done seems calculated to deny Bernie the momentum of an Iowa victory. First, and let's go back to what they did in a sequence of events. First, they blocked the release of the poll showing Bernie on top. That was an Iowa Des Moines Register poll. Then they botched the entire election results, and now they do a partial release to make Buttigieg appear as the winner, when in fact it looks probable that Sanders did probably squeak by and win by a narrow margin, if you believe any of the results, which nobody in good faith could possibly do. But here's the question. Bernie Sanders is a Jewish communist. He is the holy grail for both parties. Both parties are absolutely subservient to those interests. But me and you were having a pretty interesting conversation as to why, even though Bernie represents really everything they're after in the end game, they're not getting behind him. Why?
Because they don't want to unmask themselves, undress themselves in public, and show the average citizen what they really have in mind for us, which is a Jewish communist ruling cabal, just like they had in Bolshevik Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution, in the Soviet Union, at least until Lenin's death, and also, I think, through Stalin's tenure as well. This is what they're doing. This is just too much truth. They don't want Bernie Sanders coming out there. And also, Bernie Sanders is not under control. John Kerry apparently said something to the effect that if Bernie Sanders becomes a nominee, he will destroy the entire Democratic Party hierarchy. That's exactly what they are worried about. Just like the Republicans didn't like this off-the-chain candidate named Donald Trump, the Democrats don't want their own version of an off-the-chain candidate, Bernie Sanders, coming in. This is what Bernie Sanders represents, and believe me, if they jip him out of the presidential nomination for the Democrats again,
well, we know
his people are going to be livid. I mean, that will sabotage the entire Democratic candidacy, and there are going to be a lot of people that call themselves Democrats that will either sit it out or vote for Trump or do something, write in Bernie Sanders. But anyway, and the other thing, why, of all the people to pick as a stalking horse, Buttigieg, he may be 5'4", 120, but, you know, so was Shane. I would follow Shane in somewhere, but I'm not going to follow somebody who's judging our booty.
Well, look, I mean,
the black part of the electorate, the votes for the Democrats, they are not going to vote for Buttigieg.
Well, this
Buttigieg has been judged and found lacking, and they will not vote for him. You know, they were hammered into submission by Jewish power and influence regarding homosexual marriage. They were told when they started to come out against it that they were either going to have to get behind it or else they were going to have all their water cut off. In other words, all this money was cut off, Well, that got their attention, but when it comes to the privacy of voting in the voting booth, the black part of the Democratic coalition, which is probably the biggest and the most loyal cadre of Democratic voters there is, they couldn't have picked a worse guy to be the standard bearer.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, to use the parlance of our time, giving credit where credit is due, blacks are pretty based when it comes to the homosexual issue. They don't go for it, whereas Donald Trump has basically codified it now as a conservative championship issue for conservatives.
Everybody, unfortunately, that has a public position is in elected office. No one will say a discouraging word about it. Not even people in the pulpits of major church denominations will say anything negative.
Well,
about
I tell you who
Steve
will.
Steve Gaines won't say anything.
No, he won't. But he's talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, which is supposed to be the most conservative fundamentalist of the Protestant branches.
Of the major Protestant denominations.
But I'll tell you who will. A Muslim would. And do you think a Muslim's going to want to have a president of the United States who has a quote-unquote husband named Chasten with a finger
look,
on the nuclear
trigger? There's going to be what is going to happen is that American politics is going to descend into tribal warfare, basically. Every tribe, the Muslims, the blacks, the homosexuals, the Jews, are all going to have their own candidacies and their own candidates, and it's going to be a cluster, folks.
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders is a radical leftist, to say the least, but he is a populist, and they hate populists, and I hate corruption. So while I am no fan of Bernie Sanders, I hate to see this kind of corruption that we're seeing here. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
American and Afghan military personnel have been fired on while conducting an operation in Afghanistan's eastern Nangar province. One official says there are U.S. casualties and several people were injured. A member of the Nangar Council said it appears to be a surprise attack from within. The Taliban tweeted responsibility for the attack. Last month, a roadside bomb in nearby Kandahar province killed two American service members. The death toll from the coronavirus outbreak has climbed to 780 people in China. That includes the first American. Hong Kong is now imposing a mandatory quarantine on mainland arrivals. Inside China, nearly 60 million people are still on a partial or total public lockdown. New research shows pangolin scales may have started the outbreak. This is USA Radio News.
February is Black History Month, and what better way to celebrate than through the sounds of music? Opening summer 2020 in Nashville, the National Museum of African American Music will feature more than 50 musical genres created and inspired by African Americans. Museum President and CEO H. Beecher Hicks III.
We are proud to be a first-of-its-kind museum dedicated to celebrating the role African Americans play in shaping the American soundtrack. When you step inside the museum, you'll be instantly immersed into what I like to call 56,000 square feet of funk. We have seven galleries filled with more than 1,500 artifacts from some of your favorite artists, from gospel and hip-hop to country and classical. You'll be able to trace generations of untold black history within our walls. We are one nation under a groove, uniting all people through a shared history. And we are excited to welcome everyone to Nashville, America's Music City.
For more on the National Museum of African American Music, visit blackmusicmuseum.org.
Heavy snowfall in the mountains, along with recent heavy rain, have caused flooding in Pendleton, Oregon. Police Chief Stuart Roberts says dozens of homes and businesses have been damaged.
There's substantial loss, a lot of displaced workers, a lot of displaced residents. We're working through logistics of clean up right now and such and the like. We stood up Red Cross Center at our local convention center for the displaced folks.
Oregon Governor Kate Brown has declared a state of emergency in several counties. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton's team is accusing the White House of trying to suppress the release of his unpublished new book. He says the National Security Council that sent him a letter with concerns that the manuscript contains classified information is just a ruse to protect President Trump.
His lawyers say Bolton continues to believe that the manuscript contains no legitimately classified material. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And we're back. Sam was anticipating music, which I should have played, which we will do in the next segment. I had another clip. Behind the scenes, folks, behind the scenes stuff you don't hear during the commercial break. But we're always working, are we not, Keith? We don't take a three-minute break. Anyway, we're talking about what happened in Iowa. What happened in Iowa was a total catastrophic error, essentially negating the results. And it has no precedent. So any confident prediction about how it will affect the race ultimately are foolish. But I want to get into the media's coverage of it. I read something that absolutely made me sick, Keith. The Washington Post was dismissing any thought anyone could have had that this was anything other than an unfortunate glitch in this app that was developed by Hillary Clinton supporters. We know that to be a fact. And we know for a fact that the Hillary Clinton DNC...
That paragon of electoral honesty.
We know that they cheated Bernie last time. Anyway, they said anybody who believes that this was anything other than what it appears to be, just an honest error, what was, you know, out in the weeds. But they used these words, and this is what made me sick, a Washington Post article with regards to Iowa. They said, legitimate media coverage has uncovered that this is... Just an unfortunate error. Credible reporters dismiss any conspiracy theories.
Just say incredible reporters and illegitimate legacy media, they haven't uncovered anything. They're trying to cover up everything. What this shows is just how totally inept the powers that be are. I mean, you can generally say that trying to count the votes in the Iowa caucus would be the electoral equivalent of managing a two-car funeral. And they can't manage a two-car funeral. This is something that basically you get a dollar solar-powered calculator from Dollar Tree, and you can handle this. You know, it's nothing to it.
Here's another thing about the whole caucus thing. We were talking about the flaws of the caucus way, you know, earlier in the show before we ever even got into the corruption of this week. But they have a first alignment, and then they have a second alignment. So if it didn't go the way they wanted the first alignment, you can redo it. And then after the second alignment, they allocate state delegate equivalents, which have nothing to do with the number of national delegates, the delegates of the national convention that any candidate would win. I mean, it's the most convoluted, nonsensical system you could have possibly come up with. And that's what's going on here. But I got to get to this, Keith, talking about the media. Pat Buchanan wrote in his recent column, not in our lifetime have the government and the establishment in the media, deep state, and major institutions been held in lower regard. So you see the Washington Post basically just clamoring for credibility and saying, you know, legitimate reporters like us, credible journalists like us. But no, listen, this is beyond parody. You want to know another headline that was in the Washington Post this week? We already told you about the one, what's next, giving a Presidential Medal of Freedom to David Duke because, you know, they didn't like Rush Limbaugh getting one. And I don't much care for Rush either. I mean, he's better than Wolf Blitzer and Rachel Maddow, but if he was really a threat to the system, he wouldn't be where he is. He'd be down here in the trenches with us. I think he's okay, but he's nothing more than that. But anyway, here's another headline from the Washington Post this week. Latino man interrupted by white man. That was a headline in the Washington Post, word for word. And what it was some local school board meeting, and a Latino man got up, and he was complaining nonstop about racism, and a white man essentially had enough, a white parent had enough, and he interrupted him. And that's headline news in your Washington Post, which, along with the New York Times, is supposed to be one of the two most venerable newspaper publications in the entire world.
Well, it shows you what the mainstream media thinks is important, which is things that are not important at all. One individual having someone else preempt him in a conversation is, you know, That's much more calamitous than, you know, the Titanic sinking, apparently, in the eyes of the Washington Post. This is crazy stuff. And, you know, the Democrats have really gotten off the chain this time. If you look back over the presidential elections over the 21st century so far, look at 2000, Bush versus Gore. Folks, there wasn't much difference between Bush and Gore, in all honesty. I think we found that out when Bush got elected and started acting just like a Democrat, servile to Jewish interests in the Middle East, and never doing anything to help the people that actually voted for him. Then, 2004, John Kerry versus George Bush. Another nothing burger. Another situation where two candidates were probably within 6 degrees of difference between each other.
Then well, now we're all 6 degrees separated from
right. Well, that's why
everybody
I said
else.
That.
Yeah. They're probably a tenth of a degree.
Well, I'm talking about 6 degrees in 300 and.
I see. Okay. That's a different context.
Let's see, 360. But see, then you have Obama versus John McCain. You talk about pick your poison, you know. Again, no difference. Then Obama versus Mitt Romney. Again, the most liberal Republican you could find against a liberal Democrat. Again, no difference. Then Trump against Clinton. There we start to see some difference. In this race, there is so much difference between the Democrat and the Republican. It's just absolutely amazing.
You know,
the Democrats are totally leftist Jacobins. They are people that are, you know, they would feel right at home in the Bolshevik Revolution or in the French Revolution. Those people, I mean, they hate white people with a passion that burns with a gem-like flame, and they have no one else to run. Blumberg, you know, a typical Jewish billionaire, is trying to buy his way in.
I literally don't think he got a vote in Iowa.
Well, he didn't, because they don't have anything for write-ins there, apparently. But, you know, that's more of the media. That's more
of
the... Oh,
yeah, he didn't compete there. That's right.
But
so
he didn't compete, but and there's no way to write somebody in. But that's
it ain't for lack of spending money.
See, that's just another example of how the establishment parties have a lockdown on voting at the Iowa caucus. And there's a reason they want Iowa to go first. This way, any true insurgent like a Pat Buchanan would get off wrong-footed because of the way that they've already, you know, preordained what's going to happen. And they knew that Bernie Sanders was going to be strong. They tried to make Buttigieg into a straw man stalking horse. But believe me, they could not have picked someone worse for that function because...
Well,
do
they have? I mean, look at Biden. Biden's floundering.
Well,
I mean,
Biden at least isn't, you know, my goodness, you know, a guy French kissing his homosexual partner on national TV.
I've got a clip. Guys, listen, folks, audience, ladies, gentlemen, I've got a clip coming up for you. It's an audio clip, of course. It may be the best thing we do tonight. But I don't know about that because we've got Gene Andrews waiting in the wings, David Duke in the third hour. We're still going to break down Trump's State of the Union address. We're going to talk much more about the Democratic primaries at large beyond Iowa. You know, New Hampshire's coming up next week, and that's Bernie country. So that's he's going to lay waste to them there. And so we're going to talk about how the Democratic primaries are shaping up post-Iowa, State of the Union, and much more. News about Nathan Bedford Forrest. Yes, Forrest still makes headlines. Gene Andrews, David Duke in the second and third hours. After Gene appears in the second hour is when Keith and I are going to sink our teeth into the State of the Union address. So that's still coming up. But in the next segment, here's the point, what I was getting at. In the next segment, we're going to play this clip. And, I mean, this is right out of central casting. This goes back to the credibility or lack thereof of the media. You have this woman who asks for her vote back. She voted for Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
And she asked for it back after realizing, after she cast it, that he was a homosexual. Now, the woman who asked for the vote back is overweight, toothless. And the woman who says, well, we'll check into it, ma'am, but did you know that, you know, Mayor Pete reads his Bible and God tells us that, you know, he loves homosexuals and homosexuality is great and all of this stuff. And she's the most kindest, gentlest liberal. Have you ever gotten into an argument with a liberal, Keith, or even a conversation? Do they behave that way? It is completely 98% odds. I'm giving you odds here, James Edwards. 98% odds that this is staged and it's fake and it went viral.
Okay, so apparently that's reading the latest, you know, Southern it. Baptist convention approved Bible, if it says that.
But that's one way you know it's fake. It went viral, and it makes the leftist, so-called progressives, come across as tender-hearted and sweet, and they're just going to
rational and reasonable
woman.
And long-suffering and understanding.
Well, it was a real sensible thing to do. If I didn't know about that, I would have asked for my vote back. But how could you not know about that? If you're going to a caucus,
you shouldn't be voting if you don't know that.
For Mayor Pete, the only thing I know about this guy is that he's a homosexual. That's all he talks about. That is the only thing he talks about.
And he's 5'4", but then so is Mayor Bloomberg, as he calls himself. Not Bloomberg, but Bloomberg.
We're going to play this clip for you when you come back. Just feast your ears upon this. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Keith told me at dinner earlier this week we got to play that song for Mayor Cheat.
Yeah, right. Judge, for the booty judge running for Democratic presidential candidate. Just changed Boogeyman to Booty Man. That ought to be his new campaign song. And, you know, this is incredible. You know, you cannot...
He's not going anywhere. Look, the blacks in South Carolina are not going to vote for him.
They're not going to vote for him, but apparently he is the anointed one, no pun intended, of the Democratic leadership
that ain't going to get him through New Hampshire
to take out Bernie Sanders.
Well, but I don't think he is. I mean, Bernie's going to win. Going to win New Hampshire. Joe may win South Carolina, maybe not. I think Bernie's going to be the nominee.
I think Bernie is, man. But you Bernie know, imagine Hillary. Of all the people they have there, they pick, Pete Buttigieg.
Well, who else did they have?
Well, anyone. You know, I mean, this is who else could they have chosen that would be more repellent to the Democrat base of the Democratic Party? Those people, I mean, I haven't talked to any black. People here in Memphis that would vote for Pete Buttigieg. That's just all there is to it. And it's mind-boggling that they would choose him to be the one that they
crank
you know,
it up, Sam. Crank it up for Keith. Keith wants this song. Now do it again, please. Please just pull it up. Just play it over Keith.
of all the people they could choose, that's the one that they have chosen to be the stalking horse against Bernie Sanders, somebody that is not, if there's one candidate who is less popular with black Democrats than Bernie Sanders, it's Pete Buttigieg.
All right, but look, here's the thing. Let's get back to this thing I promised the folks I'd play. I'm 98% sure this incident was staged. It makes the candidate more appealing to the Democratic base. But you've got this woman asking for her vote back. After she cast it for Mayor Pete in the Iowa caucus, after she didn't learn he's homosexual until after she cast her vote. Again, it's all he talks about. It's the only thing I truly know about him.
He's overweight and has no teeth, too, so she fits into the deplorable basket, I suppose.
Here we go. Let's play it real quick, and you listen to it.
So can I have my card back?
I don't
know. Yeah. Find it. We could go ask.
I never knew that.
Well, so the whole point of it is, though, he's a human being, right? Just like you and me. Should it really matter? That's what.
Well, he better read the Bible.
He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party. Because
why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
Well, I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
It's common knowledge.
This is a profound and deep theological discussion.
I mean, you get the drift, I guess, folks. You get the gist. You've got this overweight, toothless woman who asked for her vote back after realizing that Buttigieg is a homosexual, and you have this kind, tender-hearted, good-looking, relatively good-looking, at least compared to the other woman.
Understanding, yeah, empathetic.
Yeah. Have you ever known a liberal to be like that, Keith? Ever?
No. She's not the typical Antifa member that we encounter.
But in any event, it just seems extremely unlikely that she would caucus for him and not know that he's a homosexual. I mean, did she really caucus for a man whose wiki page she didn't bother to read? I mean, is this the state of democracy now? And this again,
I think
gets
it probably
the...
is. That's a sad state of affairs that we're in now. You have people that have no idea. Well, see, you can't take anything for granted now, like sexual orientation for candidates for president. I mean, it's anything goes.
Keith, your headset's falling off. You've gotten so excited this thing.
I'll tell you what, it's not big enough.
Okay. Well, again, in the next hour, we're going to talk about the State of the Union. Later, the Democratic primaries at large. Let's just do a quick hodgepodge here, Keith. Very quick. Where'd my notes? Oh, there they are. Where did my notes go, though? Okay. Here's Aristotle. You want to go to some ancient wisdom?
Yeah.
Aristotle lived between 384 and 322 BC. Yes, we still use BC here in AD, not the...
BCE.
We don't do that. This was Aristotle. A state cannot be constituted from any chance body of persons. The states which have admitted persons of another stock or race, either at the time of their foundation or later, have been troubled by sedition. Now, there's some ancient wisdom for you. Aristotle was smarter than the enlightened ones are of our age.
Well, just think about this. If you're a black Democrat, the Democratic Party has made their front runners two people that are the most unattractive to black voters. Now, how are black voters going to react to this? I predict they'll still be voting Democratic, but there's got to be major dissatisfaction among black Democrats at the way the horse race is, you know, shaking out now for the Democratic presidential nomination. They are the forgotten people. They're the people that basically they're now seeing how out of step and out of touch they are with the rest of the Democratic electoral base.
Well, it's like Sam said, though, in the commercial break. You got the state of Iowa. Its entire population is less than 1% of the entire country.
And it's almost all white. If they want to see a non-white person, they have to turn on the television set.
Here's a quote. But don't lose hope, folks. There are people out there that have some sense. Listen to Viktor Orban. You know Viktor Orban, of course, the prime minister of Hungary.
And a supposed evil right-winger.
Listen to what he said in a very recent speech, as recently as a few days ago. We're fighting an enemy that is different from us. Not open, but hiding. Not straightforward, but crafty. Not national, but international. It does not believe in working, but speculates with money. It does not have its homeland, but feels it owns the whole world. Now, Keith, that's what we would call a dog whistle.
Yeah, that is definitely a dog whistle. And
now, why can't we get a guy like that running for either major party over here? Well, we thought we had somebody that was at least passable, but not so sure anymore.
I mean, Trump has been gelded by his keepers, unfortunately, on that particular issue.
Oh, I got to say something. Speaking of Europe, you know, we said last week that we were going to get back in touch with retired Major General Zeljko Glasnovic, current member of parliament there in Croatia, and have him on this week. Well, I started thinking bigger, okay? And you know we like a good series, right, Keith?
Yes.
We do our Confederate History Month series every year in April. Well, in March, and there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, I want to make it an entire series, okay? Yeah. I want to expand the idea. And we're going to do a TPC World Tour. And for each week during the month of March, we're going to hop around and check in on our kinsmen in other parts of the world. We're going to go to Canada. We're going to go to the UK. We're going to go to Australia. And we're going to go to Croatia. So we're going to do a little week-by-week world tour, a different guest from a different nation every Saturday night
in
March.
You know what I'd like to see is get the various leaders of Eastern European, former Eastern Bloc countries, to talk about what's happening in their nation and why they're taking a populist nationalist viewpoint unapologetically. That would be a...
Well, can't get everybody, but we can get some people.
Orban, for example. That'd be great.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get any heads of state on TPC, but we do have lots of members of parliament in Europe who are friends with us. We have a hell of a lot more members of parliament that'll talk to us than we do United States
Congress.
Yes, that's right. So anyway, we are going to talk with our friends in Europe. We're going to do a TPC world tour. That's why we didn't have the general on tonight. I don't like to break a promise to the audience, but then as I thought about it during the week, I thought that would be a fun thing to do in March, and then that will lead us into our April Confederate History Month series. So we're going to talk to different leaders in different European nations outside of the U.S., a world tour beginning in March every Saturday night right here on TPC. So stay tuned for that. Now, wow, I don't know if I have time for this, but I'm going to try to shoehorn it in. We talked about the Aristotle quote. We talked about the quote from Orban. How about this very quickly? The Moody Bible Institute, the Christians are at it again. Now, we're Christians, but I
mean, Brian L. Moody, who was one of the early advocates of C.I. Schofield. The author of the Schofield Bible.
I'm doing air quotes here when I say Christian. The Moody Bible Institute is arguably the most prestigious evangelical Bible college in the world.
In Chicago.
Founders Week is an annual conference held in February. So this is going on actually this week. So they've got a speaker called Ann Voskamp, who was scheduled to speak at 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, February the 6th, last Thursday. She's the co-founder and director of We Welcome Refugees. Now, I wonder how much Soros money her organization receives. Evangelicals want to be liked by liberals, as do many others, but I'm afraid they will not be allowed to make a separate peace with the left when it comes time for the shooting.
They're not even trying to make a separate peace. They are basically capitulating to the left. I never thought I would see this out of the group that I basically had picked to be the faithful remnant of the Christian church. They are even more liberal into the social gospel than the mainline. Plus, they embrace that heresy of Jewish dispensationalism.
Back with Gene Andrews next. That's shoehorning, Keith, if we ever did it. Gene Andrews is up next.